understanding biblical leadership, and of course the difference with biblical leadership is it's the style and the method of leadership that we find in the Bible, and as opposed to other forms of leadership that are out there, other types of leadership that you might find, and Jesus himself even, and we'll see, Jesus himself even brought a contrast of those different types of leadership. What we've been seeing is that we should really purpose to correctly connect to God-given leadership. It's a purpose. It's a desire. It's something that we should decide to do. The Lord has raised them up for our benefit. Godly leadership is raised up for our benefit so that we are equipped, that we're actually edified and educated. And what we've been seeing over the weeks is that the Word of God does identify His chosen leadership. And God does work through His chosen leadership to bring about His plans, His purposes, His pursuits. We've been seeing that when looking and recognizing that there is such a thing as God-given leadership. And we need to be able to identify and recognize it. How many of you would say that you've sat under a teaching around leadership like this? Half a dozen hands, just around on what constitutes leadership and of course biblical leadership particularly. It's a good, interesting to see only sort of see half a dozen hands go up, because it's important to understand what the Bible teaches on this subject so that we can always relate back to what the Bible says and say, this is safe ground, because that's what we've been doing this year. Remember, we started out the word with the year with the subject, our relationship with the Word of God. And then we went on to our relationship with the Spirit of God. And now it's our relationship with biblical leadership and understanding that we need to be able to relate to biblical leadership. So why don't we just pray again today, prepare our hearts to receive and ask the Lord a blessing. So Father, we again thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our path, Father. And Lord, we can see where we are based on what your word teaches us, what your word instructs us, Father. We can see exactly where we are. Not only that, Lord God, but we can see through your word where we can go. Lord God, what potentials are ahead of us, Lord God, what we can walk into. Lord God, your blessings for us. So Lord, we thank you for the entrance of your word today. We know that it gives us light to see, Father God. Lord, it switches on the light in our lives, Father, that we can even examine ourselves and ask questions about what we think, what we believe, and most importantly, what we're saying. So Father, we ask that you put a watch over our mouths as we receive these things, Father God. Put a watch over our words, Father God, that at our mouths we might speak in alignment with your word. And everybody that agreed said amen, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been going through this, it's true, whether it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned over there in 1 Corinthians 12, the fivefold gifts or ministry gifts as they're described in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, God's gifts are for others. In fact, we would say that God's gifts, whether they be leadership gifts, whether they be spiritual gifts, are not so much to us, but through us. So they're, in other words, they're for others. So when we start to get around the gifts of God, we have to realize that we're talking about truths from the Word of God that are actually there. Certainly, we do get a blessing from it as we walk in them, activate them, as we operate those gifts. There is a blessing. I love a little Holy Ghost goosebump. You know, who doesn't? A little Holy Ghost goosebump when it comes, you know, when that was exciting. God just did something and he used you to do it. Look, that's great. But remember, it's the impact on that gift in someone else's life that's very important, that God cares very deeply about, is that expression of that ministry gift or spiritual gift into someone's lives. And as we've said, there are such a thing as God-given leadership that we've been speaking on. It's God-given. God gives the gift. God gives the leadership in that way. His ministry gifts or fivefold gifts are given by Jesus. And that's what we saw in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll look at that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens." Who are we talking about? Talking about Jesus. Actually, there was 500 that saw him rise bodily into heaven. 500 people saw him do that. when he went up to sit at the right-hand side of the Father. It says, and when he that ascended, the same also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's what's happening now. He's filling all things. Okay? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's also the equipping of the saints in some translations, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So there's maturity to be had. We keep growing in maturity, keep growing forward. I had the revelation, I think it was even on Thursday night, that we never get to the point where we're completely complete this side of heaven. So there's always more. That's not a sad thing, that's a glad thing. Because there's always more. There's always more. God's always got another level for us to step up to. But you know what? He needs our cooperation. He needs us actually getting on board with that. He needs us stepping up to the crease and saying, I'm going to go into bat for this. I want to see God's glory being fulfilled and of course, his purpose is being fulfilled in our lives. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. On this side of heaven, we don't get there, but we do. We walk in that when we come into our heavenly home, for sure. Walk in the fullness of Christ. But, you know, that's the planning of God, is that in the meantime we'd have these ministry gifts for that equipping work. And if anyone's been sitting through these last two messages and are not sure about your calling, not sure if you have a ministry gift, that's okay. Because, you know, you may not be one of these ministry gifts that we've just spoken about. You may not be. And that's okay because because you may not be one of those groups if you're not. If you do think that that's what the Lord has in the future for you, that's great as well. Enjoy that. You know, expect the Lord to walk that out for you. But just don't rush it. All right? Don't rush it. Let the Lord work that out. It's his gift. He's given that gift. Don't rush it. Don't be preemptive in jumping into it or trying to wear that that ministry gift when you go out. Wait on the Lord. I say this, wait on the Lord when it comes to stepping into those gifts. He's the one that calls. He's the one that gives the gift. So, you know, we just need to wait on him for him to actually outwork it in our lives. He's the one that gives the ministry gift that's listed here. And we went through a little bit of a time talking about it last week and the week before. Men can make a badge. Men can even print a certificate, okay? And you can put that certificate on the wall, but it's God that gives the gift, you know? So it doesn't matter what certificates you've managed to get up on your wall, it's God that gives that ministry gift, that fivefold ministry gift, no matter what it is. So here's what's important. It's God that also authenticates. So, you know, you've got to look for the authentication of the gift wherever, in whatever way you can. Don't promote yourself into a leadership role because you want the title. Very important. Don't promote yourself. The title is not as important as the gift in operation. Be patient with the calling of the Lord. We were 5 years, Rosemary and I, were 5 years of training for the calling that he had given previously, serving in different areas in the church, counselling department. I actually got to meet Pastor Margaret, or really got to know Pastor Margaret probably 86, 87, somewhere around there, probably 87, I think. We were in the counselling department at what the then Rhema Family Church, or now Riverview Church, and we were in the counselling department, and we would sit over in the counselling area because people who came down for the altar call, the counsellors would take them off into a little room and share the gospel with them and just help them explain about the decision that they just made for Christ. And Pastor Margaret was on that team. And so she'd be there with all her little kids at that time. They're just little ones. And got to know her and realised that she was quite a tennis legend. And it was just, you know, interesting that, you know, going, she was also serving in the church, doing different things, fulfilling different areas of ministry. I was in the ushering department for a while. I was in the photography section for a little while. So I was sort of in a good seat by being in the photography section, so I could, you know, take photos of whoever's speaking. But I got around the church. I got into different areas of ministry around the church. It was all preparation. And, of course, then went into Bible college. And so all that 5 years of preparation, serving in faithfully in the local church. And I was glad because that process of preparation to stand in the ministry office was life-changing. I say it, you know, those that have been to Bible college will tell you straight out, Bible college will change your life forever. It does. It just puts such an input into your life that you just changed. You know, you could never go back to anything that you had before you were a Christian because Bible college changed it. And I just put a little plug in here, as I like to, our online e-campus program that we've been waiting on and advertising and talking about through the year has now finally been signed off as being official. So that's exciting because we've been waiting for a number of weeks now for that to be signed off so we can really step it up and get onto it. But it's online Bible college teaching. And as I say, you get into that, it'll bless you. It'll really cement some things in your life that you need to have happening. So praise the Lord. I was glad for the process of preparation. And of course, Bible college was a part of that. But promoting yourself is wrong. Promoting yourself into a place when that God hasn't given you that place is wrong. Look what Proverbs 25. Still a little bit of battery going flat. There we go. For promotion comes neither from the east nor the west nor from the south. For promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God, has that been written up twice, I think, maybe? Yes, it has. 6 and 7 it is, so just from verse 6 there. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the one, is the judge. He puts down one and sets up another. God's the one, you know, he's the gift giver, and he'll set up one and put down another. Now, and we need to recognize that men cannot give that gift of ministry. We can't dish it out at the front or hand it out in a certificate if God hasn't given the gift. It's a God-given thing. Don't seek a position of authority and responsibility to validate your sense of calling. That's very, very wrong to do that. People need to watch out that they don't get involved with that type of thinking that they could do that. God will do the calling first. What you do in the meantime is serve. Serve. That's the best place for anyone that says has a sense of calling, a sense of a ministry gift that God's, you know, maybe minister talking to them about, speaking to them about, is get involved in the local church and serve. And great things come out of that. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, lift you up in due time as time goes by. So, hallelujah. We saw last week that the type of leadership that Jesus approved of was one that was all about service. He approves of that type of leadership. And in Matthew chapter 20, it says, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Now, remember, it was the sons of of Zebedee. And, of course, James and John there. And you know, Jesus said, but Jesus called them aside and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their superiors exercise authority over them. It shall not be this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Praise the Lord. Well, it's very important to understand that whether we're called to fivefold ministry or not, the Lord's purpose for all of us is get to a level of serving the kingdom of God. That's our part to play in seeing God's will in heaven being done on earth. You know, in that 4S growth and maturity, sinner to saint, saint to servant, servant to sons and daughters, as we've talked about, as we recognize as a growth and progression, we begin to serve in that. There's a place and a point in time where we begin to say, I need to get involved. I see this as an action and an activity in the local church of the kingdom of God, and I want to be involved and I want to see you know, God's glory. We pray that God's glory would be manifest in our presence, that we would experience his presence, not just his presence, but his power in our midst. And you know, And of course, that's facilitated, especially in that higher heart connection, that higher heart connection with church leadership, where we begin to see their heart. We begin to run with their vision and see their vision. I remember talking from a level of being a part of a vision of a movement with Pastor Margaret. I saw as she went out and started to step into her ministry call, it was very much a gathering ministry that God had given her, gathering other churches and other ministries to come and join a movement that God had put on her heart. And I saw her in this picture of pushing a pram, and with all these little, you know, those old style prams, pushing this with all these other smaller little ones and babies in the pram. And very, very precious vision. And of course, I saw that heart, saw where she was coming from at the time and in that season. And of course, Victory Life International was birthed out of that heart that she had. And very humble beginnings. Sometimes the calling of God for you to walk into your ministry gift has humble beginnings, you know. And she was doing a most highly exalted thing when the Lord spoke to her about her calling to go into ministry. Highly exalted. There she was washing the dishes. Just washing the dishes in her kitchen, and the Lord spoke to her. She'd been saying to the Lord, "Lord, you know, we're just not, you know, the church that we were in was going off in another direction. And that was doctrinally, and everything was just going off in another direction." And and the Lord spoke to her and said, she'd been praying, "Lord, send someone. And the Lord said, "I'm going to send you. Why don't you do something?" You know, praise the Lord. And very humble beginnings, as I say. You know, what's important is we begin to see the vision as we serve. We begin to see that we can get behind that vision, whatever that vision may be, whether it be in the local church or not. You know, we begin to run with that vision. What it says in Hebrews chapter 13, and Hebrews 13 and verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of their faith." Follow the example of their faith. Well, you know, following their faith, it's very simple, isn't it? How did faith get into their heart? I could ask the same thing about Pastor Margaret's, you know, faith and her vision, what she's received from the Lord to do. How did it get there? It came from hearing. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you know. Whether it be a rhema word or a written word, it's faith comes that way. And of course, the rhema word, of course, as we know, is the spoken word of God. You know, if God has called us, we will know because he will have heard. You know, we will have heard from him and not men. You know, men don't do the calling. God does the calling. And when he does it, there's a leadership gift in manifestation. For those that followed our leadership in church, in where we first went out to in country Queensland, those that followed our leadership followed our faith. She got behind the faith, you know, what God had said to us. And they knew that it was, you know, that we had to be there. We knew that we had to be there and nowhere else. They knew that. They knew that we were called. They knew that we were being commissioned and sent to be in that place. You know, that we didn't just happen upon that by going on a holiday and realizing, oh, there's a little group here. We know we might just start a little church. They knew that God had actually sent us to be in that church and pastor that church for the season that we were there. They knew it. You know, we spoke honestly and openly about how the Lord had spoken, certainly first to myself. And, of course, Rosemary was in absolute agreement once we were married. She was totally in agreement. But I sat on the edge of my bed in 1986 sharing a house with three other young Christian men, and the Lord called me to the ministry with an open vision of a church without a pastor. Saw a congregation, you know, probably not as many as are in here. Open vision of a church. And there was this people, and they were all crying. And I said, in the vision, I said, "Lord, why are they crying?" And he said, "Because they don't have a pastor." And I said, stupid thing. I said, "Why don't they have a pastor?" And he said, "Because you didn't get your act together." So it was like he was showing me the consequence. He's showing me the, you know, what would result if I didn't get my act together. And getting back together was just starting to serve, starting to get ready, starting to realize that there was a call on my life and that I had to prepare for it. And, the amazing thing, and sometimes I've shared that, but the amazing thing was is that some 6 years later, I think it was, after that vision, 6 years, we followed all of the steps and all of the signs and all of the markers to get to where we thought we were supposed to be, knowing that there had been a vision. And, sometimes the Lord will show you something and you can kind of forget about it. It's kind of there, but it's... But, when we actually got to that country town and eventually the small group that we went to, we'd agreed that we needed to be a public church, so therefore we needed to be in a public hall for our Sunday services. We went and hired a hall. And actually, I got up on that first Sunday to stand before that congregation to start preaching and teaching the Word of God and start having church in a public place. It was only then that I realized that I was standing and seeing the exact same scene that the Lord had shown me 5-6 years earlier. I tell you, He's good, He's faithful. He knows what He's doing. We can trust His callings in our life. Exact same scene. The only difference was they were all pretty pleased because there was a new church in town and they were able to come along and attend a new church that was just starting that very day. Wonderful. God's so faithful. We need to remind ourselves of that. Now, it's important to realize that, you've still got to do what God's called you to do to fulfill the vision that He's given you. You've still got to, align yourself, get prepared, get ready to go. But follow His heart, follow His heart and keep pressing in and praying for the Lord to show you the steps. Just because I now had a calling and some have even, as we receive that calling from the Lord, some have even encouraged us in that calling and kind of said, oh, this, just prophetically, oh, there's a calling on your life. Wow. We'd receive that. The calls still need to be confirmed, okay? So there's the calling and there's also a confirmation of the call. And that comes from men. So God does the calling, but confirmation comes from men. You'll see it biblically. We can look at it more times. It's a bigger Bible study, I must admit. But you'll see that there's actually a confirmation of the call. And we call that ordination. And I just found, went looking and actually found a picture of our ordination. And there we all are in our suits. And I soon found out in a country church that suits aren't necessarily needed, as they are here, not necessarily needed. But we were all in our suits, and this was ordination day. There's myself and Rosemary sort of tucked in the middle there, and of course next to them we've got a pastor from, he was from Dunedin, believe it or not. He was being ordained from Dunedin, and on the other side of him there was another pastor from Napier in New Zealand. So I got ordained in good company, some New Zealanders, and of course another couple on the other side of them who were from Cowra, New South Wales, or were going to Cowra. And of course these pastors had flown in for the ordination service, and very, very important moment there. It's the confirmation of the calling, the actual ordination service is what it is. We've got Phil Baker, we've got Pastor Bob Nichols from America, he was the guest speaker at the conference, we've got Pastor Michael Moorhead there, and of course right next to him was actually, he wasn't a pastor as such, but he was in the leadership, his name was Mark Webb, and he was my boss actually as I worked in the church there, and such a good guy and such a casual guy, as you can see, he's got his hand in his pocket, he's very, very cool. And next to him is Pastor Cole Stringer. If you've ever received ministry from Pastor Cole Stringer, that's him there, a younger Cole Stringer, admittedly, close to my side there. And behind him is a guy called Pastor Alan Fielding. Now, that man behind me there, I'd already been over to Queensland by that time and actually gone to the church, but it was Pastor Alan from Queensland who actually hosted that and facilitated that connection with the church. And it was really interesting because I was sitting in the church, probably would have been a year and a half earlier, sitting in the church, way back in the congregation, as you do, sitting in the church. And Pastor Alan had just joined his church to the Rhema Family Church movement. And he was over in town and he was there and he was being introduced to the whole congregation. pretty amazing. And I'm sitting there, you know, going, well, this is great, you know, wonderful. And the Lord spoke into my heart and said, you'll be associated with him one day. And I just went. And I wondered, you know, I wondered about, and I knew that he was from a place called Rochedale in Queensland. And even as I was continuing on with, you know, the preparation for the call and that, I remember even in those earlier times, I knew that somehow I was going to be connected with him. But you know what? I didn't run up to him and say, guess what? God just spoke to me about you and we're going to be together and we're going to be associated. I didn't do any of that. Because if God said it, he's going to do it. Amen? He's going to put it together. He's got it. You don't have to try and shift anything or move anything. And he did. And there's confirmation. He's standing there right behind me on the day. We'd already connected at that point, and we're going to country Queensland to be a part of a new church plant. And he'd been involved with it from Brisbane, and he'd, you know, blessed it and of course, was very much behind it. But praise the Lord. I tell you who else was there, and you can't see him, and I was looking for the photo because he is in one of the photos, is Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong. He's there somewhere, and I can't even recall what the connection was, but he is actually over on the other side. We've got a picture of him sort of standing there. I think he's got his hand in his pocket as well, but he's over there, and he's sort of, you know, as we're getting prayed for and the laying on of hands. You know, this is very scriptural. Look what it says in 1 Timothy. I don't know what's wrong with this today, but it seems that the battery's a little bit flat. There we go. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, let no one despise your youth. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the young minister, Timothy. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you through the prophecy spoken over you at the laying on of hands of the elders. There you go. Don't neglect the gift. When was it given? That is in you, which was given you through prophecy spoken over you at the laying on of hands of the elders. Now, again, here's a good, great scripture here. Paul is saying this, you know, this is how you do church. This is how you do the church. Look what it says. Public reading of scripture, exhortation and teaching. That's church. He's talking, that's how you do it. But again, he's saying don't neglect the gift, recognizing it as a gift that's in you that you need to continue to stir up and operate and function out of. And again, you know, having had the experience of being a younger man and sort of heading toward that sort of, strange to say, that 30-year point since the ordination, getting closer to that, I think that the thing that actually blesses me more than anything is knowing that it's God's gift that allows you to do what you do. Just really being aware of that, you know, that it's not some skill that you picked up or you developed or you, you know, studied hard to gain. It's not that. It's the gift that God gives. Very interesting. It says, here, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you through prophecy spoken over you, to the decree and the declaration at the laying on of hands of the elders. Here's a question. Who are the elders? Well, before you answer that, who are the elders? Well, I know there's a few that have got a few ideas of who the elders are, but I want you to just have a little look and just consider they are the fivefold ministers. They are the fivefold ministers. Those guys that laid hands on me were the fivefold ministers, or barring Mark, who wasn't ordained. So all of those guys were the elders. And of course, who are the elders? And we're going to look at this. In the first book of Timothy, Paul speaks of two types of leadership in the church and gives qualifications for one or the other. He gives qualifications for both of them. They're called bishops and deacons. You can look for it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. There is no other type of leadership described except for elders. And as we've seen, these are fivefold leaders. These are the fivefold leaders. The word bishop, and we'll look at it. The word bishop, this is 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 2. It says, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the work of an overseer, It is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable. What does the last line say? Able to teach. Able to teach. And of course, it's the ministry gift that God gives you that allows and enables you to teach and to minister God's word. It's that gift given that allows you to be able to teach. Here's, we're talking about bishops. Now, when was the last time you saw in our church circles someone being called bishop? Now, that's very interesting, because we can see here that the Greek word is episkopai, and it actually means bishop or overseer. It's talking about someone who's an elder, someone who's a fivefold minister. Okay. So that's and of course we see these terms being used and Greek words being used to describe the same thing. And this is where it's important for us to get a hold of that. Who are the bishops or overseers? The fivefold leaders. It's not another type of leadership that's being spoken about when you hear about bishops. Now, look, I'll be the first one to say that you can go out into the body of Christ and you're going to find a lot of things that confuse you in the way that churches organize themselves and the hierarchy, the structure, the titles that they use. But this whole sermon series is about biblical leadership and what we see biblically as far as how people can connect to that leadership. Okay, who are the deacons? Well, you know, we talked about that as well. Deacons, very much, is a Greek word, diakonos, and we've already been talking about who the deacons are. It's the servants. It's the people that minister and serve. They're deacons. The Greek word, diakonos. Deacons are usually those that are appointed by overseers, elders, the bishops, the fivefold ministers. They're the ones that are appointed to roles and functions in the church. Now, we don't have a deacon ordination service, but you go to some churches, even here in town, and if you're a deacon, they'll ordain you. But what is it? It's a confirmation. You know, it's a confirmation. You know, we see in this church a role, a function that needs to be filled, and usually we'll hopefully appoint someone to fulfill it. And that's a connection to the leadership then, an appreciation. It's a leadership that have appointed that person to do that role and that function. That's important, because that's how deacons come into place and are actually able to walk in a level of anointing, a level of a capacity and equipping from the Lord. And, you know, you can, as I say, you can go to different churches and you'll find a whole lot of different hierarchies and structures, but what we're looking at is these two things. You can read 1 Timothy 3 for yourself and see the qualifications for being a bishop, overseer, or what I would say elder, and also a deacon. And you'll see that they're quite separate and different, but they're the only two levels of leadership that are actually provided for us in the Bible. And of course, the confusion for some is they thought that elders were another group of people. Oh, I'm not a pastor, but I am an elder. Who knows about that kind of structure? And of course, it's not an understanding of the Greek word at all. Look what it says over here. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 5. And elders, the elders who are among you, I exhort, look what Peter says, who am also an elder. Hang on, Peter, we thought you were the head of the church, an apostle. How could you be an elder? The elders who are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, here is Peter laying out his credentials based on his experience. He said, who was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. In other words, he was an apostle who was there, one of the original 12 apostles who was there and saw the sufferings of Christ. He lays it out as a part of his credential. And also, he says, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I believe, this is just me, the glory that shall be revealed, because he was a part of the, when Jesus was glorified and actually saw Jesus in his, what did you call it again? Transfiguration, beg your pardon, the transfiguration. So you're in accord here? Absolutely. I was looking for transfiguration, so thank you. He was a part of the transfiguration. He was there. He saw that. He was a partaker, a notice, of the glory to come. That's a glory we're looking forward to as well, that we'll enjoy, that we'll participate in. And he had a taste of it. But look what he says. He's talking to the elders. He's an apostle, and he's talking to other fivefold minister. So he's got a leadership position and he's speaking and he's saying, do this, feed the flock of God which are among you. And then he says, feed the flock among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but of a ready mind. In other words, be deliberate about it. Don't have ulterior motives, be deliberate about it. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, in other words, ruling, you know, strongly and taking that authoritarian, you know, perspective. Don't come from that position, but being examples to the flock. In other words, be an example for others, for other Christians. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We all need more grace. Amen? We all need to be receiving more grace into our lives. A fivefold ministry, no matter which one, will have a teaching gift. And of course, this is what we're looking at and this is what we're seeing, is that those elders, those ministry gifts, have a teaching gift. Or as we would say, as we were taught very clearly, if you have a fivefold ministry, you have a pulpit ministry. It's a teaching ministry. So whether you're, you know, apostle, or a prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, you've got a pulpit ministry. It's something that you bring out of the gifting that God's given you. And, you know, wherever Peter stood in the pecking order, he encouraged a ministry that served. He actually was encouraging a service ministry. He encouraged other fivefold ministers to serve by feeding. Last scripture today, I believe. Yeah, last scripture, and I want to read this one to you as well. We're looking at biblical leadership. We're looking at and seeing that our Heavenly Father wants His church in correct alignment. He doesn't want us all going off in our own little separate directions, doing our own little thing in our own little prayer closet. You know, the Bible says that one shall send 1,000 to flight. Two shall send 10,000 to flight. Now, when we connect, there's a synergy. And God's into those connections, that synergy of connection. You know, very much our teaching so far is about is how we connect to leadership as well. You can connect with the right heart, or you can kind of have the wrong heart toward leadership. And that's the thing that you've got to watch out for, because the wrong heart toward leadership is not good for you. You know, certainly leadership are sensitive to the level of leadership, the level of connection that people are connecting at. You can sense it, you can know it, all of those things. It's true. But God's looking for those heart connections, because what He wants to do is He wants to pour out more grace to a group of people who are in unity working together. He wants an open heaven operating amongst His people. And if you're in disunity, that's the problem. Disunity takes away from that. And that's the thing that we need to be working toward. You know, the Lord wants a leadership structure that is relational and not positional. You know, I don't know any pastor that wants to go around, as we use the term, cracking a whip. You know the term. I don't know any pastor who wants to do that. So we recognize that the way that we correctly connect to leadership is from the heart. That heart connection that we talked about in the last. That first level, honoring. The second level, that level of heart connection where you begin to serve and see the vision and start to run with it. And of course, that third level is that honing level. That's very relational. You know what I mean? That's very relational. It's very hard to get that relational ministry happening if the pastors are very authoritarian. You've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you three bags full, sir. You know, that doesn't help anyone. So the ideal leadership is very relational, looking for relationship. How many of you know that? You can't force relationship on people. You can't force it. You know, it's either people connect at that relational level or they don't. And of course, if people have got another attitude, another perspective, you'll know it as well. And that's where you do need to have some authority. Do need to have a position. You know, and of course, you know, in this ministry, understand there is position, there is authority. It's given to us as an incorporated association. We have authority in place and a structure that enables a level of authority over the infrastructure, the facility, the areas. And that's very much the structural side of leadership, you know. And that's also important. You know, we want to be, what's the word for it? Humble-hearted and all that to everybody. But, you know, sometimes it's good to know that you've got that authority there as well. But the first heart is a relational heart. You know, you're looking to relate to people and just get that connection where God can just minister through you to them as well. It's a much easier connection, and we look for that. You know, a leadership that leads by example and not with a king of the castle approach is the type of leadership that you should feel safe around. The one that wants to lead from example, one that wants to lead from the heart, one that wants to run with the vision that God's given them, that's a safe place to be. And, again, that the opportunity that presents itself through connecting with the heart is that all the benefits of God's desire and purpose and plan for that ministry and church become something that you can walk on and experience and enjoy as well. Amen? Amen. Well, let's all just stand to our feet this morning, and we're just going to pray and ask the Lord a blessing. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Father, we again just thank you for this time around your word, Lord God. And Lord, it's a complex subject. Father, even confused sometimes by what other organizations do and how they've worked, Father God. But Lord, just continue to help us walk this out. Help us understand from your word, Lord God, that the structures that you've placed in your word, Lord God, simple leadership structures. And Lord, we uphold above all that it's all about serving. It's all about serving one another, Father God. Even fivefold ministry leadership gifts, Father God, they are there to serve others and to minister your word, Lord God, to be a part of your hand, Father God, on people's lives, Father. And Lord, your ministry into other people's lives. So Father, we just again ask your blessing upon this church, Father God, and this congregation, Lord. Lord, that our vision, Father God, that you've given us, Father, may be fulfilled, Father. That we're here to, Father, raise up sons and daughters, Father, a people that have your heart, Father, and are connected to it, Father. Lord, it's a vision that will serve people even long after they've left this church, Father, and gone to another to serve and be a blessing. Lord, that they would have your heart wherever they go, Lord, from this place. Father, we ask these things today in Jesus' name, and ask, Lord, your blessing on us as we continue to walk in your anointings and your calling, Father God, your missions that you call us to, Father, things that we do across this Kimberley region, Father, and even into other areas and territories, Father. We ask, Lord God, that that you continue to lead us and guide us. Show us things to come, Father God, by your Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for all of it. And we thank you, Father, for what you have in store for this church in time to come. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.